Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 330 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Yeah,
how's things, mate?
Yeah, not so bad. How are you?
Yeah, all good. It feels like that international break went on for about 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I know,
and,
but like,
and were you
England were even England were even pretty decent, but you just can't bring yourself to care. I was far more invested on like whether Cape Verde would make the World Cup. Benin completely shit in the bed against Nigeria. The incredible battle between Jamaica and Curaçao for who gets to qualify for World Cup out of that group in CONCACAF. That's far, far more interesting than anything in European qualifying.
Northern Ireland. I think that was the thing we seemed to be most invested in.
Yeah, we got a bit on. I mean, to be honest, obviously they got beat anyway, but it's a shame the pub we were in picked the Wales game, which obviously as Leeds fans went, oh, plenty of Leeds players. But Wales have got a backup plan because they won their Nations League group, didn't they? Did Northern Ireland win their Nations group and Wales didn't? I'm mixing them up now anyway. But I thought Northern Ireland had a better chance of getting something at Germany, weirdly, because Germany have been a mess lately.
Yeah.
But yeah. England are in the World Cup. Yay. That's when we'll start. That's when we will all start really caring.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a great deal in terms of actual like Leeds news. There's still no contract for Harry Gray. Everyone is briefing the journalists that it's a matter of when, not if. Unfortunately, in the sort of modern way, I don't have Instagram. Actually, I technically do. I just never use it. But Harry Gray has like blacked out his profile picture, and it doesn't say it about Leeds. It's just like the agency, and that's it. So everyone is panicking like mad that he's just going to sod off. And you know, until we get some news that he's actually signed a new contract, I will be one of those people panicking.
Yeah. If he leaves, we didn't even need him anyway, so it's fine, isn't it? And if he stays, he will have a long and fruitful future at this club.
Yeah. If he leaves, he's a shit Lewis Pirri.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no. The 21s beat Bilbao 2-0. Goals from I'm trying to remember who scored. Was it a White and Alfie Cresswell? But I only saw the highlights of that, but it looked pretty good. It says a lot that that game was the day after the England game, and I saw the highlights of that before I saw the highlights of the England game.
Is it the under-21s International Cup or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Premier League International Cup is what I want to say it's actually called, but
yeah,
I'm just going to assume that because Bilbao have nothing but academy products all the time, that their academy must be good, and therefore that's a really good result.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be that all the good ones are in the first team anyway, but that works for me. We'll just get straight into it because we talked about old games. They're all a while ago. This feels like a really big one, doesn't it? Burnley away, Saturday 3 o'clock. It's obviously a massive game. Is it must win?
I'd say at this stage of the season, it's more a can't lose.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Nice. I'm loath to say any game 9 games into the season is must win.
Yeah. It's nine games in, it's probably not even must not lose, but it's must not lose if you don't want the fan base to have a complete fucking meltdown.
Yeah. It's so weird because obviously, if you were going off playing Burnley last season, you'd go a point. It's better than we got a point off them last season.
In total.
Yeah. Like, they were a really good defensive team last year. And as it goes, the Premier League has made them not a good defensive team anymore. Jaden Anthony, apparently, though, an absolute world beater.
Yeah. Is he like fourth top scorer in the league or something like that?
Yeah, so he started
in that homogenous group that's a mile beyond, and then Erling Haaland.
Yeah. I mean, given the starts of the season they've had, I would say it's certainly a game we should be attacking and we should be getting at them from the off. And I do think we can beat them. I do think we are better than them.
Yeah, I would agree that this is one of those, the only times in a Premier League season that we're going to be able to look at the other team and go, we are just, I think, player for player, we're a better side than they are. But it is a bit, we're so light at the top that it might not matter. Like, I don't know, have you seen the, like, injury news?
I've seen little bits of news.
Because basically, Nonto has trained, but then had to have heard, like a minor hernia surgery. And he might be available for West Ham, but he's out. Okafor's out. So Dan James is miraculously like 5 weeks ahead of schedule, but that might mean he sneaks on the bench. He isn't going to start. So you're looking at Aronson and Harrison on the wings. And Aronson's been away with the US, so like he'll have barely trained by the time he gets back. If we line up with Aronson on the right, Harrison on the left, and Calvert-Lewin through the middle, it doesn't scream goals.
Yeah, one of them does. In my head. Yeah.
I mean, yes, I'll give you, Harrison has a Premier League hat trick.
He had a season where he scored like 9 Premier League goals. He was, I think, you know, he has scored some goals in the Premier League. I don't know about the other two. What have they ever done in the Premier League? it's concerning because I think obviously Okafor is kind of your next goal threat after that. So losing him is big. The only positive spin I can put on it is you now have more options for getting crosses in from both sides for Calvert-Lewin, if that's kind of the route you look to play in the final third, is, you know, can he get it to Harrison or Goodmanson, and they can both swing in crosses for him. I mean, there isn't anything else, is there? Like, there isn't an alternative.
Well, there is an alternative, but Daniel Farker is not going to do it. The alternative is you play 3-5-2.
No, he's not going to play that.
And you get your width from probably just having Goodmanson and Bogle as wing-backs. You could also argue for playing Goodmanson as left centre-back and then playing Harrison as a wing-back, but I wouldn't do that. And then putting, like, Peru up with Calvert-Lewin. But I don't think... I would be absolutely amazed if he did that.
I know you can't entirely judge this by the last 10 minutes of the Spurs game. But...
It didn't look like we really understood what we were doing, did it?
No. The mission of, oh, we've got two big lads on now. Get it on the floor. Play it cool. Whether he then takes this as the chance to go back to a 4-2-3-1 and maybe puts Peru in at 10 to give you a bit of extra firepower in the middle instead, and you go with Ampadu and Longstaff.
I would be surprised, but you could. And the one thing that does give you as well is it's sort of the underrated bit. I think Peru's probably got a better weight of pass and stuff in those sort of situations than any of the other options that will be fit.
Yeah. I mean, you could also, again, you could keep that midfield three and just...
Which is what I think he'll do.
And just push Stack further up the field.
I think he'll keep the three the same because the main option would be to bring in Tanaka. But in the same way as Aronson, he's been away with Japan halfway across the world. It's not going to... It doesn't scream throwing him into this game.
No. Your options on the wing, it's very functional. And one of those doesn't function well half the time he has the ball. It's a rough one, that. I'm literally trying to think, because I know there was someone I was listening to the Don't Go to Bed Just Yet, because they basically had a mailbag show.
I was going to bring it up because I saw it on Twitter. Is this Bogle Right Wing?
It was Bogle Right Wing. And,
yeah,
and
I haven't listened to the
show. I'm not for it.
No, I was going to say the other option, because I did see people saying it on Twitter, is Bogle Right Wing and you play James Justin.
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of work.
I don't like it as an idea.
No, it's the element of Bielsa that I never quite liked. It's we are missing something, so let's take a really good player out of doing the best job he does and put him in a role he is less good at.
Yeah.
And then let's bring in someone who is worse than him.
Let's play click at holding mid and Calvin Phillips at centre half.
Yeah. It was Ayling to centre back, Shackleton to right back, just shuffling everyone around. You go, none of these people are playing their position.
Yeah.
Like a third of your team are out of position. I wouldn't want to see it, because I don't think it'll make Bogle any better. And I don't think it'll make the team any better. He could go Aronson down the middle if he felt like playing someone else on the wing. I don't know who it would be.
I think part of him would like to do that, but I can't see him doing the Bogle thing. I can't see him switching up the formation. I just don't think the bodies are there. And if it weren't for injuries, I think he'd be making no changes. Like, I think he'd just pick the same team at the time. But we know Okafor. I think it will just be Okafor out, Harrison in. Nothing else changes. Mm. By all accounts, and I didn't watch the games myself, Biol apparently had an outstanding international break. They kept two clean sheets and he was really good in both of them. So, like, you could maybe see him coming in, but we've been defending well enough that I don't think he'll change Roden and Strauch.
I think
that's the one with the best argument for it, and I still don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, do you see, and I think we did mention this last time, like, do you see, or do you think Strauch has played, I don't want to say so poorly, but even so averagely, that you would feel the need to replace him?
I don't think Strauch's particularly done out wrong. There is a bit of me that's just like, you've spent 15 million on a centre half that everyone was raving about. And that he has, I think, been brought in to be the like main centre half. If you don't then give him a chance to do it, and if you're gonna give him a chance to do it, this game is probably the one. Like, they aren't any great strokes going forward. Lyle Foster's injured, so their main sort of physical centre forward isn't going to be there. So you're going to have what? A half fit Armando Broya or Zion Fleming? And you would, if Biol's got out about him, he should be able to deal with that. So if you were going to do it, now is the time to do it. It's the same reason that if he is fit, I would play Perry, but Fark's already said it will be Darlow this weekend and Perry isn't fit enough.
Something I find quite funny about when you hear that the goalkeeper's not fit enough.
It's a very Bielsa thing to say, isn't it? It's very Jamal Blackman, is what it is. No, he's not playing. He's not fit. He's not up to it fitness wise. He's a goalkeeper. I don't care.
You know the rules. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at their team here now as well. They've been playing a. It's looking like here a 5-4-1.
There's been some of that, but I think that, like, because they just went full backs to the wall against Liverpool. But I think they've been from what I saw, they've been 4-3-3 in games where they were a little bit more in it. And, like, basically the difference will be Walker playing right centre-half he could play wing-back as well, but I think he'll just be right back against us. Like, Dubravka's a good goalkeeper. He's not as good as Trafford was, but he's a good goalkeeper. Estevez is still a good defender. I haven't seen enough of, is it Ekdal, the other centre-back that they've been playing a fair bit? I know that they played Josh Laron there in a couple of the games, which, I mean, please do that against us. Dominic Calvert-Lewin versus Josh Laron, I'd be up for.
Yeah, they've had that, and they've got Tuan Zebi as well.
Oh, yeah, he's fair, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he still trying to sue Man United?
I don't know.
For what they did with his injuries and stuff? Like Hartman, the left back, I haven't really seen. When I've watched him play, they've been. I haven't seen out that's made him stand out to me. I do like a couple of their midfielders. Like that Florentino Luiz looked good in the couple of games, and his performances have had like really good reviews. And he what? Can you remember when he was the next world class midfielder a few weeks? A few years ago. He was like really expected to come out. And I like Ugochukwu as well. I think he's a good midfielder. And obviously, Jadon Anthony on the left wing has been really, really good. But they haven't got anyone that like scares me. If Marcus Edwards is fit, he's got that bit of just raw ability that he could do something out of nowhere. And if Breuer is fit for the first time in, I don't know, 4 years, he is a good striker.
You give him a kick then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I look at it and obviously I think we said it kind of at the very start of the season, like we looked at Lyle Foster as your kind of leading centre forward and thought, like, doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in me that we're going to be pulling up any trees in this division. You know, if Lyle Foster's kind of your lead centre forward in there.
Yeah, like he's decent enough. There's no wrong with Lyle Foster, but he's not. No Premier League teams, even the ones that are going to be right down at the bottom, are going to look at Lyle Foster and worry about him.
I just look at this team and just think there's not a lot to it. But they're at home. They will have to go for it.
Yeah, I do wonder if this might be an absolutely god-awful game for 70 minutes. Where both teams are like, don't do out stupid, don't throw it away. I might look at what price 0-0 at half-time is. Like, I could really see us playing in the 4-3-3 and not being adventurous, and them playing in a 4-3-3 but not being adventurous.
Two or less shots on target.
Yeah, like really not much. Looking at that, like they've conceded the second most goals in the league this season after West Ham, but you can't really compare West Ham Nuno to West Ham Potter because they had a couple of absolute hammerings, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, like, they're really not as good. But I did listen to a bit of All Stats That Way while I was working, and they mentioned that although their XG is, like, the highest XG conceded in the league, but they've conceded loads more shots than anyone else, which suggests they're letting teams have loads of shots, but from shit areas. And unfortunately, given who our attackers are, I'm not seeing, like, the guile to not fall into that trap. Like, oh, we're just going to show you wide and you can just drill it into the side netting or at a defender. And
I think that's why.
I could see us having, like, 18 shots and 0.6 XG. Just like...
Yeah, I think it's why I would like to see us get someone centrally closer to Calvert-Lewin. Whether you just kind of unleash Stack a bit more to wander and roam.
It's Stack or Longstaff, isn't it? That has to be willing to gamble that bit more.
But yeah, that's kind of the hope. I could very much see John Peru getting on in this game, though.
Yeah, I would expect as much. The only way he doesn't is if we're winning. So I hope I don't see him. Because that way it'll be grand. Are there any other changes that you think Leeds might make? Because we went through the options. Yeah. Because I am sticking with, it'll be the same team, just Harrison for Okafor.
Yeah, I don't see it. It's not in Farke's nature. And if we were, maybe if we had another 2 or 3 points on the board, he might think about it, but I can't see it happening myself.
Yeah.
The coward.
Yeah, so the other thing with this is when I look at their defenders and midfield and I look at ours, I do think there's a slightly more sort of mistake prone than ours are. And given how tentative I think this game's going to be, I think that might play into our hands. Because I don't think either team's going to massively press or all that. It could come down to a mistake. And if it does, I think their midfield isn't as good as our midfield. Even though, because I don't think they haven't really been playing Florentino Luis and Okachukwu. If they play both of them and maybe Cullen, that's a decent midfield. But I still think, like in a battle, Stack, Longstaff, Ampadu probably wins that.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, they've still got Conor Roberts as well.
Yeah, he's been injured, but apparently he's back in training, so he might sneak on the bench or something. I mean, he's not going to play ahead of Walker unless they go back five and Roberts plays right wing back and Walker plays centre half.
Yeah, it's. I think the more we talk about this, the more I think it is going to be sort of a. What's the opposite of attrition? Where
less attrition?
Yeah. when neither team really tries to win it, essentially.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is what the game was last season, wasn't it?
Oh, God, that away
game. What was it, the one at Turf Moor? Between the two teams, there was about 0.7 XG.
Come on, you schnors. Do something. Yeah.
Is retention the opposite of attrition? Like attrition breaks things down, so retaining. Leeds are just going to have the ball at the back and passes to the centre, back to the wing, back to the centre. Strauch holds it!
Out to the right. He cuts inside. He should pass it. Oh, he's tripped and lost it. Never mind. And Burnley have sent it long.
That's genuinely, I think it might be like that. And then with 20 minutes left, we'll bring on someone, put them up with Calvert-Lewin and start going a bit longer. And then it might turn into a bit more of a game. Because I think that's the only way this game's going to have any transitions in it whatsoever. Because I don't think either team is going to be forward enough for it to really get back and forth.
Which I think is frustrating, because you look at how well we press Spurs at times in that game, how well we did it against Bournemouth. Like, we have the ability to do it. Mm. And they're a much worse team than those. Like, Everton. Like, we have done it against teams. We have it within us. I would be annoyed if we didn't do it.
But it's
Farke is by his very nature is consistent. It is a slight lack of guile.
Mm.
Like I know we are only a couple of places ahead of them in the table, but just go beat them.
Yeah, it would feel nice, wouldn't it, if we were able to...
Yeah.
Because that's, I think, what the blurb of this says when it all goes out. Like, it's not must win. I don't even think it's must not lose. But it's up there for the most winnable game we'll get all season. So just everything will feel so much better if we do. And in fairness, the predictions I've been sent, for the most part, back that up. In the least shocking news ever, Connie has us winning 2-1. Alex and little Danny have 3-1. Benny has 2-0. I, however, have a 0-0 draw. I think this game's going to be so, just so, two teams that don't want to lose.
if we draw this, Twitter is going to be such a pessimistic place.
It depends.
More so than it already is.
If we actually played all right and drew one all and were a bit unlucky, as much as people would be annoyed because it's yet another bad luck story, I think we could live with it. If it's the game, I think it's going to be where it's 0-0 and we don't really create all that much, then yeah, I think Twitter will probably be a bin fire.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a 1-0 win.
Well, I would snap your hand off for that, for certain. Because this, I mean, that's one of the things that Hopper that I work with was saying, and his question, we'll finish on this because that'll take us to about half an hour, which is fine for this one. He basically said, what's the minimum number of points you'd be happy with from Burnley away, West Ham at home?
It's probably 4, isn't it? Like, in my head, 6 would be great, but
yeah.
I think Nuno will have West Ham quite well drilled. They'll be away from home, so we'll probably be happy with the point. And I don't know if we'll... And I think with this kind of attacking unit as it is, we may have a few issues trying to actually break them down.
Yeah.
So I think now I would take 4 points.
Yeah, I said, I think I could find a way to live with 3. Like, because whenever we have better than a point a game, I can be happy. Because I think if we do that, we will stay up. But the problem is with these games, that if you lose one, you are giving someone around you points.
Yeah.
And 2 isn't enough for us. So you are probably right that it's 4.
So it's basically like a 9-goal swing and points everywhere. It's just...
You need... this. We have to have... You know, this on the Saturday and Friday night. This has to be a good week. If this is a good week, then... like, because then the 2 games after what? Brighton away and Forest away. They're both away games, so they're tough, but you can get points out of those. And then we've got that run, like late November, December, January, where it's all pretty hard.
Yeah. Also, you've no idea who'll be in charge of Forest by that point.
Yeah, because I'm assuming not Ange.
Could have sacked someone else in that point as well.
Yeah.
There's enough time. Lee Clark is in.
Yeah, they're a proper, oh, could happen.
What a daft decision.
Yeah.
I just always go back to Charlie Brooker and just go, you idiot. You fucking idiot. You idiot. Like, you've had the best season in your team's most recent history for a good 30 years. Be happy.
Yeah, but it wasn't fawning over Marinakis enough in the press conferences. And once they had that fallout after Awonye had that collision with the post and he left him on when he ended up having to have surgery and stuff afterwards, and which wasn't great management, to be fair, and it wasn't great from a medical team who should have overruled Awonye saying I'm fine when he clearly wasn't. Once that happened and he stormed on the pitch and bollocked him in front of 35,000 people, it was always, even though they finished the season, I still think they'd have finished 2 places higher in the league if they didn't do that. I think they're probably 5th instead of 7th. And then it probably all ends up fine. They just have, as soon as that fallout happened, it was a countdown until they have a fallout and he's sacked.
Yeah. Really makes all that talk about the European competition that we're going to be in fairly redundant, I reckon, at this stage.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll still make the Conference League. Should be a piece of this Premier League.
Yeah.
But yeah, that will do us for the quick preview of Burnley. We'll be back one of the days early next week. Maybe, possibly Monday, actually, because I think... Are we both off work?
Yeah.
Cool, so probably... Oh, well, golf then, probably.
We are playing golf.
Yeah, but we should get a gap at some point where we'll be able to get a pod in on Monday.
Live from the 8th hole. It's the Mighty Whites podcast.
In Venice, it would be in keeping with the podcast's history. I mean, it was either the 7th or the 8th hole that we saw Emile Smith Rowe score that goal for Huddersfield and get us promoted.
Yeah. Good lad. But, good lad, so he is.
Yeah. Leeds hero. Leave Fulham. Come here. We need a number 10. Right. Anyway, that will do us. I've been Jack. See ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.